Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Cast Ascendancy Podcast. I'm your host, Prophet. And so for the longest time now, I've been waiting around. You know, I wanted to introduce somebody, and I was getting bored of the fucking podcast without nobody, you know, to stroke my nuts a little bit. And I found the perfect person to stroke my nuts. Yeah, he's don't be alarmed, everybody. He's you know, he has a pigment deficiency. His name is Francois Bestiaire or something like that. I don't know. He's from like Northern Africa. I love this guy. Yeah, but Francois, man, what's up? How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Pigment deficiency or efficiency, since I have so much of it.
I don't have that kind of a vocabulary. You know, I grew up in the projects. I have no idea.
Melatonin overload.
Yeah. The opposite of Bob Marley, right? Is that? Yeah, man. But yeah, I mean, like, I was thinking about like how I love doing the podcast. I really do, man. But talking by yourself, and I have a lot of shit to talk about, man, but I just don't know when to stop or how long to keep going and shit. And you know, I was just like, done. I'm just going to record this. This is it. You know, 20 minutes or whatever the fuck. I'm an avid believer. As long as I got one person fucking, you know, who's listening, which that one person is a white guy named John Lewis from like Kentucky or some shit like that. Love this fucking guy. He's a little retarded, yeah. But you know, he's all right. He's a good guy. But yeah, as long as I got one person listening, man, I don't have a problem doing this shit, man. But I mean, I feel that the different thing that I have that a lot of people don't have is that I'm going to say what I think no matter what. And I don't give a fuck who it offends, man. And you're one of the few people that I've met in a long fucking time that not only do I get along with, man, but I mean, you're smart. You're from another country. You know what I mean? And fucking you don't get on my nerves, and everyone gets on my nerves. So I was like, when you sent me that message, I was like, this is the guy. He has a weird haircut, but I mean, you know, it's OK. You know, it'll work. You know, it'll work for me, I think.
To be honest, I'm actually quite surprised that you actually chose for me to join you on the podcast. I thought you'd have a lot more interesting people around, but I'm honored. And it must be nice for you you're not in America anymore, but to experience other countries. Because I know most people from the US only think there's one fucking country in the world, and they look at the rest of the world as places that manufacture shit. But thank you.
What's funny about that is that the pound is still the most valuable currency in the world. So, I mean, you kind of got to put that into consideration, you know, but no one ever thinks about that. I mean, which I lived in London for a while, man, and London is dope, man. It's like a New York City with fucking funny speaking people, you know what I mean? And like, you know, hey, bruv, good night, mate, you know, that kind of shit, man. And fucking like, it's
the Brits. I love the way they speak. Although, funny that you mentioned the strongest currency in the world, because I used to work at Western Union Money Transfer in a former life, and you can cycle through the different currencies, and the Kuwaiti dinar is actually stronger as a currency than the pound, except it's so unstable because of the region. Right. It can't be traded. Yeah.
Right. And that's what I feel comes into consideration. Like, if you look back as long as you can look back, man, I don't think that the pound has ever been less valuable and tradable than any other currency, as far as I know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, I don't, it's the dollar's never been above the pound for, as far as I know. I mean, ever, you know what I mean? So like,
never.
Yeah.
The pound is the pound. It's the yardstick, right?
Yeah, man, it's wild, man. But yeah, living out there, you've been to England, right? I mean,
yeah, I was actually in the UK 10 years ago. I had a mate of mine who got married. He was my best mate in when he was in South Africa, and he immigrated, got married, and I flew over there for his wedding. And I tell you, when I flew over there, the pound was 24 to the rand, so it literally that hurt. Huh? So you're doing the conversion at breakfast when you see like £6 for breakfast, and you're like £6 times 24, son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's like here, man. Like, oh, congratulations again, man, for you recently got married, man. I'm not an emotional person, bro, but when I saw that shit, man, like, I mean, you know, my nuts felt funny, and I wanted to cry and all kinds of shit, and that don't happen to me, man. So it was weird, you know what I mean? But I saw that post, and I was really excited about that shit. I really was, man. I mean, you know, it's dope, man. I like seeing my friends thrive, man. And like you said, I mean, you know, you got teary eyed with that shit. And like you, I never thought that was possible. So when I saw somebody else get married and I felt emotional, I was like, man, that's some powerful shit, man.
Yeah, because you know, you watch all these videos. Thank you, firstly. And you watch all these videos of the grooms when they turn around and they see their brides and they get all teary eyed. And I watch it and I'm like, shit, it must be nice for the bride to see a man break down. But I'm not really that emotional. I mean, unless, of course, you see me super, super, super angry, where I'm at the point where I'm about to rip somebody's head off. Then, yeah, for some reason, I tend to tear up out of rage. But I said that, I was like, so the celebrant makes you turn the other way. She's like, I'll tell you when to turn around. I was like, I'm not going to cry. I'm not that guy. Turn around, rude.
Yeah, like with my kids, man, people always, you know, the whole passing out when a kid's being born, I never understood that because I watched all my kids be born. You know what I mean? And like, I didn't cry when my kids were born. I think it's just because I was expecting it for so long. You know what I mean? Once it happens, it's a beautiful thing, man. But yeah, like, getting married, man, I never thought it was going to have an impact on me, or especially a friend getting married, man. But you're one of the few friends that I've had that I saw get married, and it hit me, you know, emotionally. And I was like, you know, I mean, I was, you know, I was happy as fuck for you. I mean, like, it's a beautiful thing, man. I mean, to find somebody like that, you know what I'm saying? Plus, you know, I don't know your wife whatsoever, you know what I mean? But she looks like she's awesome, especially if she, you know, if she got with you and stayed long enough to deal with your ass. She has to be an amazing person. I mean, because dealing with people like me and you, I don't feel as easy. You know what I'm saying?
No, we're tough people, right? And I mean, the harder you grew up, I suppose, and the more opinionated you are, the more difficult it makes you to deal with, because you're not a people pleaser. You're going to stand by your convictions, and it does make it difficult for people to agree. But she's, in many ways, in the beginning of the relationship, you fight because you think, you know, it's my individuality. I'm so different. She's so different. But then the more we've stayed, I mean, we're together nearly 4 years in 2 months. And the more you realize how alike you are and how much, because every relationship has friction, but you realize how much you grow
from the
uncomfortable conversations. And in the beginning, we had some ugly, ugly fights, but we got through it. We chose each other. And I mean, if you asked me this question 5 years ago, do you think you'd have ever ended up married based on how my life was going? Probably not. So for me, it was daunting. Okay. I mean, everybody has their doubts up to a point, but now that it's done, it almost shifts your focus in relation to, because I fought. I think we all fight for your individuality in relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to do this and I want to keep doing that. And I don't want to give that up because that's what makes me me.
Yeah,
and
compromise is difficult.
Fuck yeah. And then you get to a point where you realize, shit, especially when you're married, that those things are really not important, that you really need to try and shift your focus to making that person happy, and the happier they are, the more they want you to do the things that make you, if that makes sense.
It
almost shifts your focus from like inwardly focused to outwardly focused, that you want the best for the other person. And when they feel like you're giving them that, they want those things for you, so you receive them anyway, as opposed to putting your foot down and trying to reach for them. So it's the weirdest thing. It's been like a
it's
very
funny, and I feel you have to be in that position to understand that. Like someone who's never, you know, would, like if someone told me this shit, you know, 7 years ago, I'd be like, you're speaking fucking, you know, you're speaking Greek to me, bro. I don't go eat a fucking pita. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You know what I mean? But like, it's like, yeah, when you get into a relationship with somebody, you got to realize that, you know, you're entering the other person's world as well. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, it's not just your world anymore. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to mix these two worlds and hope that, you know, that it works. And like, I just finished writing an ebook right now, man. And I started doing this shit just because, I don't know, I just have all this fucking information. I have like 700 notes, man, of like just different shit. So I got a bunch of notes that I was going the other day. I was just going through stuff, and I put it together and I made an ebook, man. And I haven't, I'll send you a copy of it so you can look at it, man. But it's more or less, you know, how to win somebody over and, you know, and be more interesting in your relationship so that you can, you know, bond or whatever the fuck. That's the premise of the whole thing, man. And so I put that together, man, to see just because, no fucking real reason, man. And I sent it to a buddy of mine, and they read it, and they thought it was really good. Now it's not formatted yet. I haven't even proofread it, bro. I just put it all together and then just showed somebody.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a couple of fucking issues on it, but yeah, man. I just feel like people always think, like, you know, like for example, like if someone wants to give you advice, I feel like you can learn something from everybody. You can learn what not to do sometimes from people. You know what I'm saying? So like, the advantage that they gives me over a lot of people is that I actually listen when somebody's speaking, opposed to just waiting for my turn to speak. You know what I mean? But yeah, like with that, man, I'm not qualified to be anybody's fucking, you know, marriage counselor, man. But I have an opinion, and I'm gonna fucking, you know, share it. And a lot of people tend to agree with how I look at certain things, you know, especially when they don't know it's me that's sharing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah, man, shit's So I'll send you one of those, man. But when it comes to it, man, like relationships are so fucking complex, man. And the sooner you can realize that you have to compromise and it's not such a bad thing, I think the easier everything gets, man. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think I agree. And I think it's kind of interesting that you said that you can learn something from anybody, because a personal story. So my dad was cheated on my mom. Okay. I'm assuming probably once or twice, probably maybe more times. And seeing the damage that it did to my mother, I made a decision at the age of 18 that I would never do that to anybody. So I'm 44 now, and I'm yet to do it, purely because I know what you can do to somebody through something like that. So the wife and I deal that that never happens in our relationship. The day you feel like you want to do that, tell me up front, and we can talk about it, and we can part ways before anybody does anything irrational. Because I
See,
mean,
that, to me,
you never know what
that's
somebody
beautiful,
might
bro.
feel
Like, I
if it's
mean,
that
yeah,
bad. Yeah.
it's as much as you know somebody. Like, for example, right? I was never faithful before, you know, my ex. I was never faithful, man. But I never, not that it makes it okay or makes it, you know, any less, you know, bad. But like, I never cheated just to cheat. It never happened that way. You know what I'm saying? It was, you know, I was a drug dealer, bro. I was a criminal. I was doing bad shit. I was on the streets and stuff like that, running around going crazy or whatever the fuck. And sometimes, you know, things would happen, and you know. I was the kind of person where, like, I'm not gonna go home and tell the girl that I was with that shit. But if she asked me, I would tell her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it doesn't make it okay. It doesn't make it, you know, any less, you know, damaging. You know, and it was a horrible thing to do. And I just didn't. I never cared about anybody more than I cared about myself ever in my life. I was a very selfish person. You know what I mean? And like, when I got with my ex, and like, it changed a lot of things for me. And I was never unfaithful to her, not one time. And I mean, ever. I mean, not even. The thought never even crossed my mind. You know what I mean? It really didn't. Now, according to her, you know, same for her. I choose to believe her and shit like that. But like, it's weird how like when you find somebody that you care about, it's like I never, you know, like I it was nothing like that. I was ever missing at home. You know, that obviously had something to do with it. But like on top of that, I never cared to go out and like why? So many people cheat, and they cheat with like a lot of times they'll cheat with like uglier women or worse women or whatever the fuck. And maybe it's because they're not getting what they want at home. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of reasons, but it's never okay. You know what I mean? It's really never okay, man. I mean, that's just, and I didn't know that right away, you know?
You know, I get that. I mean, live and learn. It's life, right? Nobody has a perfect blueprint for what we do, what we do. We all have our past traumas to try and heal. But it's interesting that you say that as well, because on the cheating topic, you often look at people, and maybe in a fit of anger, you'll go out and you'll find somebody who matches that one piece that you think your partner is missing. Okay? But you forget
Right.
over the years that you've been with somebody, how many of the things that they do that are really, really very good, and out of a scale of maybe 0 to 10, 8 of those 10 things are great. But because you see them and you're receiving the compliments every day, you forget them because familiarity breeds
Right, that's a
contempt
good
or
fucking point,
forgetfulness.
man.
You go out and you see one person, and that person pats you on the shoulder like your missus doesn't, and you're like, that's what I want, and you fuck them. And then you go back home and you realize, actually, I just flushed 8 of the other good things down. But in that moment, that one little thing is what grabs you, and it's this dog's humping my leg. And in that one moment, it makes sense, right? Because there's that one piece that was missing. But you forget the pieces of the puzzle that it took you to get to the point. That it's often good to just take stock of that. Yeah, but I can see
That's
it. I can
amazing.
see
That's an amazing point.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally see how it happens.
Yeah, like it's crazy that you said that because I mean, like, so it's like when you have a fucking my son. When my son was, you know, but between the ages of 2 and 3, I didn't realize how much he was growing because I see him every fucking day, right? But then, you know, people take pictures and they're like, "Dude, your son's huge now." And I'm like, "Nah, he's not that big." You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he looks like a 5-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's a monster. But I mean, it's a perfect point because it's funny. Like, I think about so many perspectives when I look at something, man. I try to, you know, see everything in as many perspectives as I can, just because I mean, I feel like it gives me an advantage, man. And oddly enough, that's one of the first things that someone said to me in a long time that I don't feel that I ever really considered, man. So that's an amazing fucking point, bro. Yeah, I guess it's the first time for everything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know I'm the smartest person I know, but I
Yeah.
mean, goddamn, right? Fucking.
It's interesting, but I mean, it just happens. I mean, we have this sometimes we'll go out and we'll be at the gym and I'll see a woman that is potentially attractive.
Right.
And I'm able to look at her and go, yeah, that's hot. But are you going to go there and fuck that person because she's hot and forget all the things and ruin the relationship for the past 4 years just because the person looked good?
Yeah,
No.
and right, and see, with me, like before, it was never a, because I was like that. I just, you know, a girl had to be attractive for me to, you know, to fuck around or whatnot. But like, so recently I talked to a person, right, and like, she's an attractive girl, man. But like, I was drawn to the kind of person that she was because of information that was shared. You know what I'm saying? And it was the first time in my life where like, I had interest in talking to a person of the female sex. I'm saying that had nothing to do with like, you know, attractiveness. You know what I mean? And like, it's I'm not a shallow person, right? But like, of course, for me to start talking to a girl, you know, on the premise of like, you know, maybe dating them, attractive has, it's always the first thing. I mean, it has to be almost, you know what I'm saying? And like, that was the first time I spoke to a girl where I was like, wow, very strange for me because I'm thinking about this person and it has nothing to do with how attractive she is. And that was very strange for me, very strange for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and like, it was definitely a first, man. So like, but yeah, at the end of the day, before maybe, you know, 7, 8 years ago, maybe that was something I would smash a girl just because I thought she was hot. But now it's like, yeah, I want an attractive partner, but it's not on the top of my list. And it's never not been on the top of my list. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know.
But I think, I don't want to sound shallow, but for me, I'm unlikely to end up in a relationship with somebody who is physically unattractive, who has a beautiful mind. So I am, to a certain degree, very shallow, okay? So
no, because I'm the same way, man. I'm just glad that the girl happens to be attractive, too. But I'm saying just, you know, it's just maybe number 3 on the list opposed to number 1, which is strange, you know?
Right, but I also don't want to spend my evenings on Sunday night explaining Finding Nemo and what type of fish I'm in. So some gray matter is going to come into effect. From time to time, maybe I want to play general knowledge and I don't want you to get like whitewashed in the first 2 rounds. That's also very important.
Right. That's perfect, man.
you also want your intellectual equal because, look, looks fade, right?
Right. In that aspect, though, I'm fucked because, I mean... Unless, you know, I don't know, unless maybe Sigmund Freud or Einstein come back as a woman, I don't think I have an intellectual equal. But I mean, hey, what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? You got to lower your standards on that aspect a little bit.
Look, I mean, I do have to say, your IQ is brought up here. So you're gonna have to really dig very hard to find a woman to match your equal. And it's, of course, you just decide, it's 2023, I'm not going to judge you. Find a guy, maybe that's your thing, you know?
You know, hey, you know what? As long as the ass is nice, you know what I'm saying, and they chop off a dingling, I might make an exception, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know. You know, it is 2023. I have to consider that. I mean, but you know what? Speaking of that, bro, there's a person who goes to my gym, and when I go to the gym, I go to train. I don't want to fucking talk to nobody. I don't want nobody to look at me or nothing like that. I don't look at nobody and shit like that. I just go and I go and that's it, right? On the few occasions when I've went at like 10:30, right, there's this girl who's always staring at me, and she's kind of fucking big, man. I'm like, God damn, okay. Like, I was at the gym for 2.5 years, man, and like, you know, I don't have the body that I once did, so I'm not in the best shape of my life right now. So she might be bigger than me, and she's always staring at me, man. And my buddy was like, you know, that's a dude, and I'm like, awesome, you know, I guess whatever the fuck, but I don't really care. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. But like, today she went up to me and she said, are you using this or whatever the fuck? And I'm like, yeah, no, go ahead. I'm done. You know, I'm on the cables, right? Then I went to another machine and she went over there and did the same thing again. And then I said, hey, I was like, no offense, maybe I'm wrong. I was like, but you know, are you like following me or some shit right there? She starts laughing and she goes, no, I'm doing the same exercises and I like the way you train. So I'm trying to do what you're doing afterwards. And I hope that's okay. I'm like, whatever. You know what I mean? And it turns out this chick's a dude, or maybe she isn't. I don't fucking know. I mean, she kind of looks like a dude, but the guy told me she was, and I took her his word for it. But, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm intimidated how big she is. She's not taller than me, but her arms are definitely bigger than mine, bro. And it makes me feel very awkward.
So you're 6'2". So how tall is she? He?
Like 5'10", maybe, you know, 5'9". I'm saying so on the female end, you know, it's, but what worries me is the fact that I feel her arms are bigger than mine, bro. And because she acts like a woman and dresses like a woman, I'm going to call her she, you know what I'm saying? But like, I don't really find her attractive at all. You know what I'm saying? But it's one of those things where if I did and she was a guy, I don't know that I would give a fuck anymore. You know what I'm saying? I don't, maybe I'm just old. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I want to. Now, funny story, and I don't know what I'm going to say is right, but back in like 2009, right, I went to this like millionaire fucking party with this fucking dude that I knew. And this chick was hitting on me and I was drunk and I was hitting on her. She was really attractive.
This is going to be a good story. I can
very good story. Yeah. Well, he comes up to me right after I've been flirting with a chick a little bit. He goes, hey, man, this is my buddy, my partner. He's gay, which if he didn't tell me he was gay, I would have never guessed it, right? And matter of fact, when he did tell me he was gay, I thought he was kidding. That's how fucking much it was, right? Well, he goes, hey, man, just letting you know, because, you know, you're getting really friendly, is that girl used to be a guy. And I'm like, fucking get out of here. You're full of shit, man. There's no fucking way, right? So my stupid ass, right? I'm fucking drunk. I'm fucking probably I was on methamphetamines at the time probably and shit. And I walk up to her and I go, can I ask you a question? And you're not going to be offended? She goes, yeah, ask me anything. I'm like, can I feel your pussy? And she slaps me and fucking, you know, and I just wanted to know what it felt like to, if it was really fake, I just wanted to know, right? I didn't get a chance to feel it that day, but she slapped the shit out of me, right? Called me a fucking asshole, whatever the fuck, left. Then she came back and told me that she was a guy and that, sorry for slapping me, but that she wasn't just easy because she used to be a guy. And I'm like, no, I mean, sorry that I shouldn't assume that shit, but I mean, you know, bro, back in those days.
Yeah.
I had a lot of money. I was attractive. I was young. I was on fucking drugs. And as far as I'm concerned, I was, you know, God's gift to the world. So I was like, I just assumed that it was going to happen, and it didn't, man. But like, to this day, I'll sit there and think about, like, do you know the difference? Is there a difference? How does it look like? You know what I'm saying? It's just weird. I don't know. I don't know. Strange thing. I don't know.
It's an interesting conversation though, because let's say you do find somebody who used to be a dude who's now a woman who you find attractive, and majority of people don't know that she used to be a guy. Are you attracted to what the person was before or what the person means to you now? Because it's kind of the same as when you get into a relationship, you
Right,
don't
right,
really
right.
care
I was going to say the same
about
thing.
what you. Right. You don't really care about your partner's past, right? Because we all have a past. I've done
Right,
some
right, right. Like,
shit
I'm not
that
going to
is
sit there and
very.
judge you on what you did on your
Right.
past relationship. You know what I'm saying? As long as you're good with me, fucking, you know.
Right. There was some shit I would never confess to a priest, even though I'm not deeply religious, right? But that's in the past. And I mean, obviously, the wife knows everything that I've done in the past. But I mean, you don't care about a person's past, you care about what they are. So now you're in a situation where somebody that used to be a guy is now a woman, and you're in a situation. But you find that after the act. How do you feel about it?
You see,
Betrayed? It's a bit of an odd one, right?
me, the kind of person that I am, I mean, like, initially, I think that I'd be like upset. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like, now, if like that girl at that party, right? Like that's the only time that, I mean, as far as I know, that's the only time that like I was hitting on a chick that used to be a dude. You know what I mean? Like, because the girl at the gym, I mean, I'm not attracted to her at all. I mean, she's not in any way to me, you know, pretty or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? But like the girl at the party, I mean, she was fucking hot. I mean, she was gorgeous. I'm like surprised at how fucking, you know, attractive this person was. And the fact that, like, you know, I didn't believe him and I said this dumb shit, right? And then she came back and actually told me she used to be a dude. I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, I mean, that's fucking wild to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, because if I wouldn't have known, I might have tried to smash. And then if I would have smashed, you know what I'm saying? Who knows what the fuck would have happened? You know what I mean? But like in those days, I was more shallow though. In most days, I probably would have like lost my shit. I probably would have beat the bitch up, really, and thinking like, you know, it's okay because he used to be a dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, which is fucked up, but it's like nowadays, I'm not so sure what the fuck I would do, but I wouldn't. I would try to like at least, you know, realize the fact that, like you said, I mean, you know, I'm gonna go off what I feel about the person now and not up, you know, based on the past. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know. That's a weird conversation, and who knows, man.
The interesting point of this conversation is really how much of your own personal happiness that you're trying to get to is tied into your own personal feelings about that person and what you think the world is going to judge you on, right?
See, and I'm lucky enough to think we're like, and the people tell you, man, like I feel that I'm in every fucking sense of the word, man. I'm free because I don't care about what nobody thinks about me, man. I don't have rear view mirrors anymore. I threw those away a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care
Yeah.
about the past, and I'm a now kind of person. Like, and realistically, I don't give a fuck about what people think. I really don't. I mean, I honest to God could care less what anyone says, you know, or thinks about me. And people say that all the time, but I know that I genuinely don't give a fuck. So as long as I'm happy, you know what I'm saying, and the person tends to be, you know, somebody that I find attractive, smart, you know what I'm saying, and I feel like
Yeah.
I could be with them, I don't think I'd give a fuck. I really don't think I'd give a fuck.
I think I'm about the same, because I mean, white is white, I'm black.
You're
She's
black?
30 years
Oh,
old.
no way. What? Oh, fuck. I'm gonna have to reconsider this partnership. Now, go ahead.
She's also 14 years younger than me. So look, obviously being black, back on crack. Okay, so the average person would guess my age at about 35, so 36 maybe. So nobody actually. So it's not like I lie about it. So like,
Right,
if you
right, right.
consider the sort of relationship that we're in, the country that we're in, many things that people could object to in relation to, well, mixed race couple, or younger woman,
Right, right,
older
right.
guy. I've even heard somebody comment on Facebook before about, these guys, you know, that keep going for these younger women. And to somebody who was about my age, who I think had a kind of a crush on me at the time, saying, these guys are shooting for these younger chicks, et cetera, because this and that. Why don't you go for a woman your age? And I was like, that's because the women at my age are carrying three times the baggage that I have, and one thing's a lot more difficult than women. I mean, it's not like I was going for a younger woman. I was attracted to Shan because
Right. I was gonna say
to
that. I mean, when you meet
yeah.
somebody, you're not like, you know, how old are you? You know what I'm saying? You just, you know, you meet somebody and you're
Right.
attracted to them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like it's like, yeah. So I mean, it's weird because I have daughters, man. My oldest daughter is 21 years old, right? So like now, if it happened, it happened. But I wouldn't like knowingly try to date somebody that age just because I feel like it's kind of strange. You know what I'm saying? But that's just me. I mean, it's if somebody's, you know, dating a person who's, you know, 21 and they're 50, I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? That's their problem. You know what I'm saying? Do what you got to do. But like, for me personally, I would really, I've always, not that I go out of my way to do this, right? But I don't tend to find like really, really younger girls like intriguing because, especially in this day and age, man. I mean, people are just fucking retarded. But
how old are you?
I'm 41, bro. I turned 41 in July, man. Now,
well, yeah.
I mean, most people that I meet, you know, tend to tell me that, you know, they think I'm like you're 33, 34, whatever the fuck, you know. I don't tend to get, you know, much older than that or whatever the fuck, you know. But like, I mean, I have no gray hair on my head. I have some on my beard, but you know.
You haven't aged visibly. You haven't aged a year since the last time I saw you.
Which is crazy, man. It's been a long time, and neither of you, honestly. Yeah. But you know what, man? Like, I got buddies, you know, especially when they've been to prison, man. All my black friends have been to prison, man. Like, I had a friend, man. His name's John Boy, right? When I met this motherfucker, bro, he was 51 years old, right? I would have never guessed he was a day over 32 easily, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was in prison 19 years, you know what I'm saying? Like, he got out, and, you know, since he was in prison so long, you know, he was still a youngster. He got out, you know, he's acting like he's, like, 25 and shit, going to party and, you know, this and that. And, like, yeah, man, I mean, I just figured, like at the end of the day, bro, if you meet somebody, you love them, fuck it, you know what I'm saying? I don't care what the age is. I mean, unless she's underage, which is, you know, which is kind of weird, I guess, you know what I'm saying? But
it's a different conversation. Yeah, right. But I mean, you, because I mean, I always thought, I mean, back when I was single and I had that, you know, you're on Tinder and I always went maximum 9 or 10 years younger as a limit and 10 right. years up as well. So it's not like I was being, if you want to look at the scale, right? It's not like I was discriminating up or down. That's just kind of the range I was going for. But I also worry about the types of conversations I'm going to have with that person. Because, yeah, it's fine. You know, look for a younger woman. That's cool. But now you have to discuss Billie Eilish, fucking the floss dance, and whatever the hell
Cardi B means. You just said three words that I have no idea what they mean.
Stupid shit.
God, yes. Oh.
Yeah. And I don't want to talk about that woke shit either. So my parameters back then were more about the levels of tolerance and bullshit I would have to deal with at a conversation at dinner.
With me, I'm strange. Like I can hold a conversation with anybody, man. You know what I mean? But it's like at the same time, I don't like with my ex, right? Like, you know, we always had conversations all the time, right? But like at first, you know, the first like 2 years, I feel like I spoke way more than she did. You know what I mean? And then the last
you spoke more. Breathing.
Yes. It's because, you know, I have so many stories, bro, and shit like that. And like, yeah, it's just strange. I know you would never understand this because, you know, I don't like to speak. You know, I'm a very, you know, reserved person. I don't like to speak. But you know what was crazy is though the last 3 or 4 years, man, she spoke a lot more than I did and conversated more. You know, and she would actually tell me sometimes, like, you know, that she felt weird because she felt like sometimes maybe she spoke too much, and I'm like, no, I mean, go ahead and, you know, continue saying what you're saying. It's just that, you know, I've spoken all the stories that I can think of, you know what I'm saying? Like, and unless something comes into, you know, conversation, I'm not just gonna bring something up just to bring it up, you know what I mean? Plus I'm a kind of person where, like, obviously you only have your life experiences to judge anything by, right? But like, I also don't like to always inject me into the fucking conversation, because if you're telling me something about yourself, I'm not gonna be like, oh, well, I did this, you know what I'm saying? I don't like to be that kind of person. But if it brings something up, you know, I'll say it, but I try to just, you know, speak about what they're speaking about and see how they look at things or view how they, you know, see how they view things, you know, by their perspective and try to understand it that way. You know what I mean? But like, she spoke a lot more than I did, but our conversations were always very interesting. And I feel like there were conversations that you would never generally consider people to have, I guess, or common, you know, they weren't common things. Right. So I want to, if I ever get into another relationship again, which I'm not opposed to, but I'm also not looking for one. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would have to be somebody that I can definitely conversate with, man. And like you said, just have an evening dinner, you know what I'm saying? Where I'm talking about something and not talking about, you know, whoever the fuck Billie Eilish is. This person makes me nervous just thinking about it. You know what I mean?
It's interesting about that, the conversation thing, because when I got into the relationship with Shannon, she used to say, like, I talk a lot, but I don't express my feelings well, she often says.
Neither do I. Like, I'm talking horrible about my Lord.
It's a guy thing, right? Yeah. So I'd come up from work and she'd say, how was your day? And I'd say, shit, this happened and that's happened and that's all I have. But I don't know why I'm feeling shit. So it took her almost, I'd say, a year to get me to open up and to release. Because, I mean, I don't know why I'm feeling the way I do, because I compartmentalize that.
Whatever right.
Between leaving work and getting to the car and the drive, it's parked. I get out of the car, I get in, it's parked. But now I'm carrying over all this emotion that is I'm wearing it on my face, but I don't know why I feel the way I do. So I literally have to unpack everything. So she got me talking, and then she felt a lot better about it. But now she tells me, "Well, you talk too fucking much, and you're waffling." And I'm like, "Well, look, you need to pick your battles, okay?"
That's fucking
Because when I
awesome.
talk, I talk. Yeah.
Yeah, she would tell me sometimes, she'd be like, I just, I notice you don't speak that much anymore, or as much as you used to. And I'm like, well, I mean, if you ask me something, I'm gonna answer. You know what I'm saying? If you want to get into a conversation and you initiate the conversation, I'm gonna keep it going, you know what I'm saying? But like, I'm also not just gonna be like yap, 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 you know what I'm saying? Like for no reason. I've never been that way, you know what I mean? And like, now the one thing that I have over most people in all reality, without, just is I'm very clever, man. And like in a fucking millisecond, if you say something to me, it doesn't matter what it is on the planet, bro. I don't have to think about it, man. I open my eyes, I'm in my mouth and shit, and like, little angels come out, with little fucking hammers and start just constructing little beautiful colloquies and shit like that. And all of a sudden, whatever I said, I'm like, God damn, I should have recorded that because it's amazing. You know what I'm saying? But like, I don't have to think to react and speak, man. And then just for whatever reason, my brain just triggers and boom, it says something like, so it's easy for me to conversate with anybody, man, or to come back or whatever the fuck. But yeah, man, at the end of the day, conversation is so important to me because my entire life I grew up and I didn't have somebody to conversate. Like before prison, I didn't speak a lot, bro. I really didn't, because I didn't trust anybody, I didn't like anybody, and I was always, you know what I'm saying, I didn't know who wanted to fucking shoot me and shit like that. So after I got out of prison and I realized that I'm no longer going to be, what I was, I started opening up to a lot of people just more often and shit like that. It was strange at first, man, but it's like now I'm an open book, man. And like, either you know me or you don't. But getting to know me is very fucking easy because if you ask me a question, I'm going to fucking answer it. Whether it offends you or not, that's your problem. You know what I mean?
That's exactly how I operate. I actually have an expression that I said, just be you, the world will adjust. Okay. At the age of 44, I pay my bills, the wife's happy. Whatever I do in my personal time, irrespective of what I do for recreation, is my business, and I'll tell it, I'll share it with everybody. And if you don't like it, that's cool. One less person who I know is going to be fake around me and talk shit about me. I'll tell you upfront everything you need to know. If you like it, that's cool, we can chill. If you don't like it, you can disappear immediately. And that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, bro, I feel that 100%, man. So yeah, so South Africa, huh? I've always wanted to go, and for no real reason, just another place, you know what I'm saying, to take off the fucking checklist, man. But never made it to South Africa. I had a buddy who was living in what the fuck is it, Cape Town? Cape Town, right? Yeah, he lived in Cape Town or some shit like that, man. This is long ass. I don't even have contact with him anymore, man. But he would always tell me, man, you come out here, bro, you're American, the women are gonna love you just because you're American. And I'm like, for real? Sounds like Honduras and shit like that. It's kind of scary, man.
South Africa is very nice, actually. And if you're somebody who has a reasonable amount of street smarts, it's a great place to visit.
Oh yeah, I
But
mean.
it's not without its problems. It is still the third world, and people are prone to crime. And we have some violent home invasions in the fucking country. So, majority of people here who have means, I mean, this is the fucking house, bro.
That's how it is here. That's how it is in Mexico.
Yeah. So I've got two guns legal. I've got one gun on the table while we're chatting. If anybody tries to enter, I mean, it's not about the theft, right? Because everybody's got insurance. I don't really mind if people want to come in and take stuff, but people want to come in and they want to hurt people and they
Right,
want to
right,
rape
right, right,
people.
right.
My life was never as interesting as that. I mean, my dad's a doctor by profession, so he's from the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Congo as it's now, and he left the Congo and he went to
Also, so
study
he
medicine in
has
Britain.
he ever met those gorillas in the Congo, the silver ones, No?
Yeah,
Do they eat people? Do they eat people still?
those are actually in Rwanda, okay? But they're on the
About
border.
Rhodesia? Where's Rhodesia still
No,
around,
that's Zimbabwe. We
right?
say Zimbabwe
I tell
now.
everybody that shit,
Welcome
man.
to.
I used to tell motherfuckers back in the day, where are you from? I'd say Rhodesia. People are like, what?
Yeah.
Rhodesia? What is that, man? I learned that from a movie somewhere. I don't fucking know, man. But yeah.
It was actually referenced by Leonardo DiCaprio
Yes,
in Blood Diamond. He
Blood
said it
Diamond. That's
to
right.
Jennifer Connelly, Rhodesia, and then she corrects him. She says, "We say Zimbabwe now."
That's right. That's right. I remember hearing that shit too, and I was like, I started saying that shit all the fucking time, man. That shit's hilarious to me. But
It's literally what the people who missed the old country used to call Zimbabwe when it was run and ruled by white people. So it's kind of like a nostalgic term. Oh, Rhodesia. Life was so much better when the blacks were in control, or we controlled
Oh
rather.
man, yeah. Like
Fuck
I was
man.
telling, I got a lot of friends who were Ethiopian, man. I met these dudes playing Call of Duty, like Modern Warfare Online.
Okay.
Five Ethiopian kids, right? And fuck, I mean, they're American. They were fucking, they they fucking have no accents and shit like that, and they moved to the States when they were little kids and shit. All of them were actually born in Ethiopia, you know what I mean? So fucking I'm always calling them fucking like Ugandan and all this other racist shit and saying fucked up stuff, you know what I'm saying? But they're really good about it, man. It's hilarious. Like, and what's funny to me is that they're always telling me that the most racist people they've ever dealt with are American black people. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's all, well, they live in Minnesota, right? And they're like, in Minnesota, man, like, I've never had a white or Hispanic, you know, be racist to me. I've only ever had black Americans be racist to me, which never made sense to me when I was a little kid, because, I mean, we're both black. But, you know, and Americans claim to be African-American, but they hate Africans. And I'm like, I saw that growing up, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was growing up, I grew up in an all-black neighborhood, bro. So they would call me, like, you know, a little white boy. They call me a little wetback and bean and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah. I started having to fucking, you know, whoop these kids' asses and shit like that, man. But, like, I always tell people, man, and people get mad at this shit, but, like, to me, and I got nothing against nobody, man. I mean, my grandmother's black and shit, but to me, American black people are the most racist motherfuckers on the planet, bro. And it's just that easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's okay for me. I don't care. It doesn't offend me because racism is funny to me. It should be funny. But I've always heard that from other countries, man. Like, Hondurans, right? There's a lot of black people in Honduras, man. I got cousins that are, you know, almost as purple as you are and shit.
Yeah.
But, so like, and they all live in New York, bro. So like fucking, they'll tell me shit like, yeah, when they find out I'm not black American and they find out I'm Honduran, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's when the racism occurs. And I'm just like, I wonder why that shit is, man. It never made sense to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just weird.
It seems so pathetic to judge somebody based on where they come from as opposed to who they are as a person. I mean, for example, I grew up, first 6 years of my life in Switzerland. No idea that I was black. Okay, there's white people everywhere. I don't remember experiencing racism.
You were like fucking, you were like that kid from Full. What was that movie with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? The one kid thought he was white until he was a certain age or some shit like that. Same fuck.
That David Chappelle's kid where he thinks he's an old word. Sudden, hey, dogs are going crazy. Yeah, but then, so we went from the Switzerland to the Congo. Congo was cool. Also, no real sense of black, white, etc. Arrived in South Africa, and the first couple of months, I get, there's a seriously derogatory term that they use in this country called, I don't know if I can use the word on the podcast, though. Because technically speaking, it's illegal to even say the word in this country, because you get like, they'll put you in jail for saying it. The K word, K-A-F-F-I-R, okay? So, okay. The old Arabic term is literally means non-believer, but yeah, it was used as a slur. So I'm walking to school and somebody shouts at me, a white guy shouts a word at me. And it dawned on me that at the age of about 13, that there's actually white and black people. So here, racism is very weird. Some white people dislike the black people because of the propaganda that the country spread during apartheid. But also, the black people in the country don't necessarily like black people from other countries because of xenophobia. So you're kind of screwed either side of the fence. But I mean, I don't experience a lot of it. I mean, an interracial relationship, my wife's white. Okay.
Right, right.
We go out. She doesn't necessarily carry herself as somebody that you would want to mess with. And I certainly don't have the look of somebody that you'd want to meddle with. So I love it when you go out and you see somebody's look of disapproval from across the room. I like that because that's your right. It's your choice. I want you to not like what you see. That's cool. From there, as soon as you come up here in my face, different story.
Right. I respect the hell out of that. Yeah, that's how it should be, bro.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, you have the right to be as racist as you want, as bigoted as you want. In your room at home, you can run around in your Hitler outfit. That's cool.
Yeah.
Once you're out in the world, we have to be a bit more tolerant of each other. You don't have to like me, but I don't want to hear about what you dislike about how I'm living my life. And if you're courageous enough to vocalize that to me, then be ready for what might happen. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I'm not a hard guy. I didn't grow up the hardest, okay? But I have a very long fuse. And when the lights are off, if there's no cameras around, I'm likely to do some very sketchy shit.
Right. That's what's up, man. I wanted to ask you real quick. So I met a guy a long fucking time ago, man. I lived in London in, I think it was like 2005, 2006. I lived in London for almost 2 years, right? And I met a black guy out there, man. He was from he was from Northern Africa somewhere, man. I don't remember where now that I'm thinking about it. Even though I don't remember, but the fucking guy was telling me how he when he was younger, he didn't know that like the word nigger was racism. He had no idea. And like, you know, cause you know, he would use the word niggardly all the time because, you know, it meant fucking ignorant or some shit like that. And, he said that, you know, one time a white dude called him a nigger and he was like, didn't get offended or nothing like that. And then, you know, a few years down the road, he ended up finding out that it was, you know, a racist term or whatnot. But I mean, I feel like that's a word that's known globally. I mean, right? I mean, like, if you're in South Africa and somebody says that, I mean, you know, they're being racist and shit, right?
Look, personally, I'm on the fence, you know, because you often hear people saying the word is racist. If white people can't use it, black people shouldn't use it either. And I'm almost on the side of the wall where I'm like, I sort of agree. So I've got some people, some friends of mine who are black guys who call me, "Hey, what's up, my nigga?" And I'm like, "Look, you and I didn't grow up in the same fucking place. You don't know me. Don't call me that, okay?" Until we have like a really deep connection, like you and I, where we really know each other, it'll never offend me. But some people sometimes try and slip it in. It's like, "Hey, what's up, my nigga?" I'm like, "God, no,
Okay. Hey, that's what's
that's
up.
yeah, one and done." So you'll call me Francois, Frenchie is what my friends call me. That word all fucking limits to you,
I
unless of
call you
course it's like
Frank
a very
Hoist, bro, just so you know. Frank Hoist,
Frank
because
White.
I don't say French stuff because French people make me nervous, you know what I'm saying? So like
I don't mind. I mean, it all the for me, I look more at who is the person is that
right.
used the word and your background and how you grew up. And then if it's part of your parlance, then I'm cool with it. I'll never take
Yeah, 'cause like
offense.
with me,
Some
like you know what I'm
people.
saying, I speak, you know, when I speak, you know what I'm saying, like I try not to use it, man, but like you know what I'm saying, and not even because it's offensive. It's just one of those things where like I grew up saying that shit my whole life, and I was like, man, my nigga, this and this and that, you know. It was like the way I speak now, bro, is completely different than how I spoke when I was, you know, younger. I mean, I had like a very fucking heavy accent, man, and then I realized right away that people look down on me because I sound like, you know, some fucking, you know, some hood motherfucker from the streets and shit like that, no matter the job that I had. And I was, you know, I was in sales when I got out of high school and shit like that. So I was like, you know, I gotta fucking figure out a way to, you know, to fucking to sound more, you know, non-ghetto or whatever the fuck, right? And like, I'm a fucking chameleon, bro. I can go anywhere, man. I mean, I can make fucking 100 fucking accents and shit like that. And it's one of those things where like the way I grew up and the kind of person that I was, I had no choice but to fucking adapt because, you know, we didn't move a lot, but we moved, you know, we moved a few times when I was younger and shit like that, man. Like, from when I was in New York, right? We lived in Manhattan, like Lower Manhattan, right? When I was like, you know, little kid. Then we moved to Queens, man, and fucking that's when we moved into the projects and shit like that. And like living in there, it wasn't that bad because, you know, even though you see some fucked up shit, like it was wild, you know what I'm saying? But like now looking back, I realize like damn, it was ghetto as fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, but when you're growing up, you don't realize that shit. Like, you know, to me, if you see a dead person on the floor, you know, you kind of check his pockets to see if he had any money, and then you walk around. It was just a normal thing and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, and people are like, what? That's But I didn't know that was bad or fucked up because it's something that you saw growing up more recently than you should have, I guess. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, fucking.
You adjust to your environment, right? So, I mean,
Oh,
you can,
yeah.
as people, we're so adaptable. If you grow up with certain things from a young age, you're almost desensitized to them. It's almost natural. And if you don't, you're always going to be at odds with the place where you are because it's not going to make sense. You're probably going to go fucking insane.
Yeah, man, like it's people always like gauge on, you know, like intelligence, right? Intelligence to a lot of people is just how much you know. You know what I'm saying? Like the way I gauge intelligence is how much you can communicate with different fucking types of people. Because I mean, like, I can go to Harvard, man, and have a fucking conversation with the fucking goddamn, you know, linguistic science and shit, you know, fucking instructor and communicate well. And then I can go to the fucking ghettoest goddamn place and fucking anywhere and still, you know, communicate with these people. And that's how I look at, you know, intelligence in a sense, because how smart are you if you can't communicate with fucking, you know, dumb people? I mean, it's just if you can't, you know, lower your fucking, you know, like some people, you know, they love to show off their fucking their vocabulary, and that doesn't sound so, I mean, that doesn't make anybody look smart to me. Like, no one looks at me and thinks I'm smart, bro. You know, and that's fine. I love that because it gives me the upper hand. You know what I'm saying? It gives me an advantage when I'm talking to people. You know what I mean? Which I think is great. But like when people start finding out that shit, it's always funny to me. Like people tell me, like, damn, bro, I'm surprised that you're smart or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? And like I don't know, you know what Mensa is? The IQ place or whatever the fuck.
They do all these IQ tests to gauge how smart you are on the Western scale, I suppose,
Right,
yeah.
exactly, man. And every fucking country has their own branch of Mensa and shit like that. But here, let me. In 1998, right, I was accepted into the fucking Mensa IQ Society, right? I was 16 years old, I believe. And they give you this fucking test, right? And the test that they give you, it's the one that I took was a fucking God damn it, it's fucking loading. It's like the rate test, I think, or something like that. And when you look at these fucking tests, bro, it doesn't really. I don't get how you get intellect from the high IQs. To me, don't make you smart. I don't care if you have a fucking a 180 or a fucking 200. I mean, that doesn't, to me, it's not enough to say, oh, you know, you're smart because you have a this IQ. I mean, I have a 166 IQ, bro, on paper. You know what I'm saying?
I took one of those tests. That's the one I took had these weird questions where they give you like a number. It says 24 H in a D, and then you have to complete 24 hours in a day. Then it says 3 B M S H T R, and you're supposed to complete three blind mice, see how they run. And I
Yeah,
went through this
see.
test, and I was like, And I was like, that's great. If you grew up in a society where this terminology was applicable, I mean, I grew up speaking French. You put me through that test, I'm going to fucking fail it.
So we had to cut a little short, man. I just want everybody to get a little feeling of more or less what's to come. We're going to start structuring the show a little bit different. Despite the fact that we didn't finish this this episode 100%, I don't think we were prepared for some of the shit we had to deal with the, you know, connecting. I mean, he's in South Africa, I'm in Mexico, man. But I think it was a very good show. It was really dope. I feel that that, you know, I mean, this can go a lot of places, man. And we're going to start structuring the show a little bit differently. So just get ready. Just get ready. The show's going to get a lot better, man. And as always, thank you everybody who supports me and who supports us now. Stuff. Yeah, stuff. Things and stuff. And 44, purple.